This is iFaith Video Sermon 77, How the Mighty Have Fallen. We're currently spending time in the books of Samuel. In 1 Samuel, major characters include Samuel and Saul and David, though there are many other interesting persons, important persons like Jonathan or Abigail or Hannah. 2 Samuel is largely about the intrigues within David's own family, the establishment and consolidation of the kingdom, and not David's death. He doesn't die in 2 Samuel, but he does unite the 12 tribes. He moves the capital to Jerusalem. There's so much there. I mean, 1 Samuel is very busy, a lot happening. 2 Samuel even more so. I can only encourage you to read this on your own. What I'd like to do in today's talk and the following one is to look at part of the first chapter of 2 Samuel and part of the second chapter. In 2 Samuel 1, we find a funeral lament. This is right after Saul, who in 1 Samuel had been persecuting David, after Saul and his sons die. They die fighting the Philistines. And the phrase, how the mighty have fallen, which even many non-Christians know, is a phrase, a question, an observation, really, that appears in this funeral lament. There's another funeral lament when another man dies, Abner, also by David, but we will not focus on that. How the mighty have fallen. Three times we'll find that refrain in our text today. So, the last lesson, we were at Endor, the witch of Endor, calling up Samuel and telling Saul, you'll be dead. Samuel tells Saul, you'll be dead and you'll be joining me tomorrow. Now, they fight the Philistines, they die on Mount Gilboa, and the news of Saul's death comes, and for David, it's a heavy blow. Even though Saul had already become his enemy, it's hard for him. This is why we love David so much. 2 Samuel 1:17. David intoned this lamentation over Saul and his son Jonathan. He ordered that the Song of the Bow be taught to the people of Judah. It is written in the book of Jashar. Before we go on, let's just explain the introduction here. This lament, this dirge, funeral song, is called the Song of the Bow. The bow is connected with Jonathan in 1 Samuel and even in this song or this poem. And that's what that refers to. Although he's drawing whoever wrote 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel is drawing on earlier sources because he found this in the book of Jashar, which is referred to in various Old Testament books. It's not a part of the Bible. It's just one of its source material. Now, the lament is not only for Jonathan, who was very close to David. It's also for Saul. Saul and his son Jonathan. And these are unifying words. It says that David ordered that it be taught to the people of Judah. That's David's tribe. Saul and his family are from Benjamin. There are many tribes, as you know. But this isn't something, he's not just trying to, this is not a political move. Let me pretend like I care. You'll see he really does care. And he wants even those in Judah to appreciate the strengths of the now deceased first king, that is Saul. And what follow now are, to me, some of the most amazing verses in the whole Bible. David, your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will exult. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no rain, no dew upon you, nor bounteous fields. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul, anointed with oil, no more. David is lamenting here, and he refers to Saul and Jonathan as your glory, O Israel. How the mighty have fallen. When he says, tell it not in Gath, and then it mentions Ashkelon. These are two of the five principal cities of the Philistines. Of course, it'll be told in Gath. Of course, the Philistines will boasted because they took Saul's body, that cut off his head. They got a lot of publicity from this. And then you mountains of Gilboa, that's where he died. He says, let there be no rain or dew upon you. Of course, there's rain or dew, but it's that sense of something horrible having happened here. The shield of the mighty was defiled. And it mentions oiling the shield. Now, Saul was oiled. He was anointed to be king. That didn't go well. But as a warrior, as a soldier, he was first class. A shield would be oiled to make it more impervious to darts or spears or lances, to protect it, to cause them to glance off, to slide off. And he doesn't speak of Saul's death so directly. He speaks of the shield of the mighty, the shield of Saul. And maybe it's just a bit painful for him to talk about that. Let's continue. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, nor the sword of Saul return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with crimson and luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. May I make a few more comments here? Others, he says, daughters of Israel, weep over Saul. I'm not saying that David didn't weep, but his mourning is especially reserved for Jonathan, as we'll see in the final paragraph. Jonathan had an incredible love for David. We read in the book of 1 Samuel that he helped David in difficult times to put his strength in God, to put his trust in God. Jonathan was very different from Saul. David's constantly consulting God or a priest or a prophet. What should I do? Saul seems to be saying, I can take this. I got this. But he doesn't. David has a very different heart. And Jonathan is an amazing, amazing person. Again, there's not a single negative thing about Saul in this entire song. Amazing, huh? There's no veiled allusion or dig. Okay, let me just mention something, or even saying humorously, I'm not going to talk about these weaknesses of his, because today we're focusing on the positive. Yeah, in which case he would have referred to weaknesses. Saul had strengths and weaknesses. Jonathan's love was incredible. His father, Saul, gave gifts to people. He was pretty good in many aspects of leadership. But Jonathan just gave himself. Jonathan would have become the king after Saul if this was the dynasty. Saul dies, Jonathan inherits. Now, on the mountains of Gilboa, Saul's sons die. At least three that we know the best. There's one more, but they die. But in his lifetime, Jonathan not only didn't get in position to become king, he told David, you'll be king after me. And you should be. You're the one. And he supported David. David reciprocates that, not just in these words, but in his kindness to the house of Jonathan and the house of Saul. And we read about that throughout this book. Let's go to we're at the end now. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I'm distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. So here is the second time we find that exclamation, how the mighty have fallen. And now he's really sharing his heart about Jonathan. Sadness for Saul, appreciation for Saul's good points. Yes, he is genuinely sad. But for Jonathan, see, he's not pretending that he had the same relationship. His relationship with Jonathan was very different than his relationship with Saul. As you may know, many people with a fairly progressive agenda say, see, they were homosexual lovers. But it doesn't say that. I mean, if you read the books of Samuel and you learn about David, there's no hint of that. He struggled with lust, as many men do, but it was always with women. Moreover, it doesn't say they were lovers in that sexual sense. He says, your love to me was wonderful. Remember, we're reading a poem. This song is poetic. The mountains of Gilboa are not going to have, they're not going to lose rainfall forever because of what he said here. David didn't really believe the Philistines wouldn't share the news of Saul's death, even though he said, tell it not in Gath. And here he's not saying that Jonathan's love is sexually better than that of a woman. It's not. No, that shows a lack of familiarity with the book. It's the friendship. Jonathan helped him to find his strength in God. And now the final verse of this hymn, how the mighty have fallen, the weapons of war perished. Three times, how the mighty have fallen. What are the weapons of war? In this case, Saul and Jonathan are the weapons of war. They were Israel's best protection against the Philistines who were trying to prevent Israel from really taking possession of the promised land, of the land guaranteed to them, gifted to them by God himself. They are the weapons. And so how the mighty have fallen. What can we learn from this part of the Bible? Now, next time we'll be at the end of 2 Samuel with another passage. I mean, there's just so much good stuff. But from this, I know some of us might have skipped over the song. We might have said, oh, it's about a funeral. It'll be heavy or it's poetry. I'm not good with poetry. There's a reason the scripture's in the Bible. There's a reason each section is in the Bible. So what do we see? Well, I had a few thoughts. First, the importance of speaking kindly about others. David, I think, would have been excused for having some hard words, given that Saul had tried to assassinate David multiple times. He doesn't sink to that level. He is as respectful towards Saul here as he is in the earlier chapters. Read them and see. The positive greatly outweighs the negative. We see that loss of a friend is painful. And to express how we are, how we're feeling, what we're thinking, that's a good thing biblically. You don't just suppress that. When we speak, and this is a very public document because he's making all the followers of God learn it, we should consider the impact of our words. Consider the impact. And I think these are healing words. These are unifying words. And that is why soon after this time, all of Israel, Benjamin and Judah and the other tribes unite. They come together and ultimately they take Jerusalem. That becomes the capital and there's a unity. And this is where God's temple will be built. Well, next time we'll be in 2 Samuel 24. I have a provisional title, Relying on Numbers. Some important things I will share then. But thank you for listening today. God bless. Warm greetings from Atlanta, Georgia.